Well, happy Mother's Day to all the moms. This morning, we're going to do our study in a little bit different way, and it's going to require some participation on your part. Are you up for it? Are three people up for it? Four? All right, so you're going to have to participate to make this work, okay? So one of the things that we've been doing as a church is intentionally growing in the spiritual disciplines. And one aspect of our one spiritual discipline has been in the area of prayer. So we've been intentionally as a church, we've been praying out loud as a congregation. We've been breaking up into small groups and praying for one another. We've been inviting people to come on up front and get prayed for. We even mentioned that this morning. You know, if you want someone to pray for you, come and let me pray for you. Let Natasha pray for you. Let someone pray for you. But move on, you know. Take that step of faith that you can grow in the things of the Lord. Well, prayer we would all agree, is just vital to growing spiritually. You have to be able to, you know, listen to the Lord and be able to speak with Him, have Him touch your heart, present your needs to the Lord. It's a big component of growing in the Christian walk. And another one is the Word of God. How does God primarily speak to us? He speaks to us through His Word. But there's a gap in saying that and then in really believing or kind of understanding how it works. And so we're going to use this morning to do that. And so here's what we're going to do. Going to open up your Bible to the book of Ruth, and what I'm going to do is read probably half of this book. Okay, so there's four chapters. It takes 4 minutes to read each chapter, and so we're going to. I know this is probably shocking in church to read the Bible for 8 minutes, but we're actually going to do that, and so. What we're going to do is pray, we're going to read God's Word, and then I'm going to ask you a question. So here's where bravery and courage is needed. The question is going to be, what struck you? What spoke to your heart out of the narrative that we're going to look at? And it's a very, very sweet story of three women and how they struggled and how God... I don't want to give you too many clues to what the narrative is. And so that's going to be the question. What struck your heart? And here's what you're going to find this morning. It's already happened twice, so I have a good level of faith that it'll happen at the 11 o'clock. What you're going to find is that when I go through my PowerPoint on the teaching points for the text, you're going to find that most likely you're going to cover most of the major points. And so what am I trying to model here? What I'm trying to model is that if you pray and if you read God's Word, He's going to speak to you. And He just doesn't speak to a pastor. You know, you say, oh, I could never do that. I could never stand up in front of people and tell them what the Bible says. Well, famous last words. That's all I have to say for you. Because God can bring anybody, to a place where you can open God's Word and say, look, this is what grips my heart. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to pray, I'm going to read the text, and then I'm going to ask you this question. What spoke to you? What gripped your heart? And then, and after that, we'll look at the teaching that I prepared. And I think you're going to be surprised at how good you guys are at letting God speak His Word into your heart and into your life. So let's pray, and then we'll read, and then we'll have a little exchange, and then we'll grow in the spiritual discipline of reading and letting God's word speak into our heart. Well, Father, we thank You for this day. And we pray, Lord, that You would come and just make Your word clear to our mind. Lord, that You would let the words of the page become something that impacts our heart and something that impacts our life. And Lord, we desire to grow in the ability to not only to pray to you, Lord, but the ability to read your word and let it speak to our heart. Grow us in that this morning, Lord, I ask. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're in the book of Ruth, and it's Ruth chapter 1, verse 1. And I'd like you to follow along with me with the heart that says this. Lord, would you speak to my heart? Would you let a word or a phrase or a truth jump off the page and land in my heart? Ruth chapter 1, verse 1. In the days when the judges ruled there, there was a famine in the land. And a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi. And the names of the two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These two Moabite wives, the name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Verse 6. Then she arose and her daughter-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from that place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on their way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return, each one of you, to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." Then she kissed, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husband?" Follow to 15. And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, this is one of the sweetest verses in the Old Testament, but Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. Verse 19. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the woman said, "Is this Naomi?" And she said to them, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi, when the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. Chapter 2. Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him, in whose sight I shall find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his young man, who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers.' So she came, and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest." Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping, and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessel and drink what the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me. And now you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Then she said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." Drop down to verse 20. And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi also said to her, "This man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." And as you read the narrative, you go through chapter 3, and what happens is that Boaz falls in love with Ruth. And Naomi tells her daughter-in-law, Ruth, "Go to the threshing floor and lay there and do as Boaz would instruct you to do." And Boaz wakes up and he says, "Who's this woman?" And what Boaz shares with her is about her purity and the grace that she has. Look at verse 10 of chapter 3. And he said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you what you ask, for all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. And now it is true that I am a redeemer." And so what Boaz does is he goes and he buys Elimelech's field. Elimelech had died in Moab. And he takes Ruth as his wife. And that's kind of the conclusion of the story, Ruth chapter 4, verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and he went into her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the woman said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a redeemer, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. Verse 17. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. And if you follow the lineage, the father, in a sense, of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ becomes of the line of David. And so here's the question for you. When we read this narrative, what stands out for you? What kind of captures your heart? I'd like to hear from you this morning. What of the text was meaningful? Yeah.
And God is with you the whole time, and while your trials and tribulations
That's all. Did you hear that? God is with us through all our trials. I mean, did Ruth start out in a good place or a bad place? A very bad place. And God brought her into the man of her dreams. Someone else. Yeah. Perfect. What kind of work did she do? She did the task of maybe even a slave. She did the task of someone that was impoverished. She wasn't prideful. She received God's provision. I grew up in a family that is like this. We take nothing from no one. It doesn't matter if we don't have enough food. We'll take a handout from no one. We're very prideful. And yet we have to come to that place like Naomi, that whatever God's provision is for us, we say, Lord, I receive your grace. I receive your forgiveness. Someone else. Yeah, Roland. Amen. Same, same. No matter who you are, right? White, black, yellow, pink. God's got a plan for your life, right? Gentile Jew. I don't know. Susie. Awesome truth. Naomi means, Cyril, you're next. Naomi's name means pleasant. Mara means bitter. Amen. I have Boaz in my life. His name's Gavin. Last one. There we go. Yeah, Mary Ann. So if you hear what Mary Ann said, even though there's a famine in the land, God has provision. And what does that speak to our hearts today? Even though it may be difficult, even though we might be unemployed, even though we may be in a difficult place with a lot of needs, God still has what for us? He still has provision for us. That's great. Someone else? Yeah. Sure. Yes.
And although the Jews are God's chosen people, God doesn't consider them any more special than that. He gave them a job to do.
Yes. Perfect. It's hard to believe, but it's true. Jesus is Irish. He's Jewish. He's Jewish. But Ruth was a Moabitess, right? She was a Gentile. She was outside the covenant, right? Yet she had a conversion experience when she says to Ruth, "Do not urge me to leave you or return from following you. For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your what? Your God, my God." And so the Lord rewards everyone that seeks him, whether you're Irish or Jewish or Italian or Portuguese or whatever. God rewards those that seek after him. Perfect. Anyone else? Yeah. On the way into church, I asked Jan the question. She knows the narrative. I asked Jan, I said, what in Ruth really speaks to you as the women's leader in our church? And she goes, she said, the way Naomi mentored Ruth and loved Ruth, that that there was something in Naomi's heart that she reached out to Ruth and brought her in and resulted in her coming to faith in the God of Israel. It's perfect. Anyone else? Something that reached out and grabbed you about the narrative of the text? Yeah, John.
Faithfulness of Ruth is greatly rewarded.
Yes. What I see is we'll look in the PowerPoint, Hesed. It's transliterated Hessed, and it means loving kindness in the Hebrew. And what you see is Ruth's loving kindness towards her mother-in-law, and that she humbles herself, right, and goes to glean from the fields as a foreigner. And God does what? Gives her the man of her dreams. It's awesome. And we could also look at the other side of the coin, that Boaz was probably middle-aged and he falls in love with this beautiful young woman, and God honors that, and they bring forth a son who's in the lineage of Jesus Christ. What a story, huh? That's like a real love story. Go, John. So could we say she was, this is a joke, could we say that she was lucky? No. But the providences of God, right? God had a plan, right? So let's take a look at this little PowerPoint I have and see how many we were able to pull together. The point of the teaching this morning is to demonstrate that if we pray, and if we will just read God's word, he'll speak to us. And he'll do that for anyone. You don't have to be an elder, a reverend, Sunday school teacher. You just have to be like Naomi and like Ruth, and God will speak to you. And no matter what difficulty you're facing in life right now, he'll bring you through. When we look at the first little slide here, we note in Ruth 1:1, we find the context of what's being written. And you know that context drives the meaning of everything that happens. So we put the diamond in a setting so that it displays its glory. And we put the text in its context so that it can display its fullness and its brightness to us. We do that in 1:1. We see in the days when the judges ruled, and we know from harmonizing the scriptures in Judges 17:6 and 21:25, we learn that everyone did as he saw fit. It was a dark, black, sinful, depraved situation. It was a desperate situation that Ruth and Naomi faced. They were impoverished. There was famine in the land. Yet, God had a what? God has a plan. And you need to know that in your life, that God has a plan for you. And his plan is a good plan, a future and hope. God has a place of grace and joy for your life if you'll seek him. When we look at, in particular, Naomi, look at the dynamic in chapter 1, 2 verses 6 and 7. We see that Naomi was not neutral towards the things of the Lord. When she heard that the Lord was working, what did she do? When she heard it, she heard that the Lord was visiting, she was not neutral. She did what? She set out to find. She set out to, how can we put it? She set out to go home. And that's one of the best things in, say, if you're going through a difficult time, come home. Come home to the Lord. Come home to his people. Naomi's attitude was, don't call me Naomi, which means, right, pleasant, but call me bitter because I've come back empty. God's brought calamity to me. But she doesn't stay there. As she fellowships with God's people, she exposes her heart to God's word. She changes. She begins to look at Boaz as the answer, God's provision for her, and she rejoices in what God is doing. One of the great things that we see about Naomi is that, she was in a dark place. She felt abandoned and empty, but she turned to go home. And when she went home, she found the answers. Same thing in our life. Difficulties, trials. Don't stay away from God's people. And don't stay away from the Lord himself. Let your heart find a home. Let your heart find a home in Christ. And let your heart find a home with real people. I was reading an article this week about this big evangelist type person. And he was encouraging people that if you want prayer, just click yes. That doesn't quite work for me. If I need prayer, I need someone to pray for me. I need someone to hold my hand and cry with me at times. Yes, men do cry. And be there for me. That's what Naomi did. When we look at Ruth as the character, you see this chesed, this self-sacrificial love. We see in 1:16, we see her conversion, your God, my God. And you see the character on Ruth, that Ruth believes and she takes shelter in the Lord, chapter 2, verse 12. She's obedient, she's pure, she's a Gentile, but God rewards those who seek after him. That type of quality, that type of character earns the grace and earns the favor of God. Couple technical things. Let me go to the field It's the law of Moses instructed landowners to leave what the harvest is missed so that the poor, the alien, the widow, and the fatherless could glean from their, for their needs. Leviticus 19:9. It's kind of like God's food stamp program to take care of the poor. I grew up in a family that wouldn't take anything from anybody. We could be on our last bag of potatoes. This is truthful. You know, my father used to go out and buy a 50-pound bag. We had potatoes till we had spuds coming out of our ears. But we'd never ask anything from anybody, never take a handout, never take free cheese. They're just a prideful people. And although there's a quality of character there that says I'll work for my own, there's also an Achilles heel to that where you have a heart that says I'll take nothing from no one, and that includes God. And we all, every single one of us, get to a place in life where life is too much and we need grace and we need someone to care for us. Naomi had strong character in that she was willing to humble herself and, yes, gather under God's provision. But she was humble enough to see through Boaz that that was the answer for her life and receive the grace of God into her life. This whole thing about a redeemer, the Levitical mandate, has a lot to do with keeping, say, Elimelech in this case, keeping his name alive, and keeping the land in the tribe, so to speak. We see Boaz being a willing kinsman redeemer, just like Jesus is for us. And so the end of the story, Boaz takes Ruth. A son has been born to Naomi. They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. In the lineage of Jesus, Boaz becomes the kinsman redeemer. And Boaz is a type of Jesus, what Jesus has done for us, rescued us from the power of sin. When I was looking at this on Friday, I also came up with something that's very essential in grandparenting. So if you're a grandparent, I'm going to give you a proof text that's very powerful. Our kids may have their children, but their children really belong to us as grandparents. They might be charged with changing the diapers and all of that, but I want to call your attention to this text. So if you're a grandparent, you can underline this in your Bible. It's in Ruth chapter 4, verse 17. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, a son has been born to who? I thought it was Ruth's baby. No, that's God's plan for grandparenting, that you may raise them, but they are ours. I can't wait to, when I make a grandparent joke, actually this isn't a joke, but when I make a grandparent statement, I always clip it and send it to Danny. So she'll get this one. So when we look at the scriptures, okay, what are we modeling here today? What are we getting at? Well, there's spiritual disciplines that draw us closer to the Lord. Prayer is one of them. We've been working on that as a church, to be more intentional and diligent praying for one another, praying to the Lord. Well, another one of those spiritual disciplines is what we're modeling here today, is that anyone can pray and read God's word and have him speak to our hearts. And so at the end of my little reading of Ruth, I just took out a piece of paper and said, what's practical about all of this? I came up with probably 15, 20 things, but you should only close with one slide, so that's what this is about. So what are some practical life lessons? And that's where you want to get to in your Bible study. You want to get, okay, here's the context, here's the truth, but where's the application? How can I use it? When we look at some practical life lessons, we can look at four things that pertain to God's plan. God's plan can't be thwarted. It unfolds in his way, in his time. It includes discipline. But ultimately, God's plan is this: to redeem and save, to set you free. I mean, if you ask in any situation you're going through, if you ask yourself this simple question, how does God want to redeem How does God want to redeem me? How does God want to save me? How does God want to bring me closer to Him? Then you begin really grappling with the purposes of the difficulties and trials that you might face in life. It kind of boils down to a Romans 8:28 thing, right? If we love all those that love God, call according to His purpose. He has a way of shaping and molding and working all things out for His purposes, His ways in our life. Why? Because He's a God of grace and a God of redemption. When we look at four things, if we find ourselves in need, whether we're the Naomi or Ruth in the story, if we're in need, what should we do? The first thing is would you just ask God? Would you just ask Him for some help? And that's what prayer is all about. If you're going through something that's difficult and hard, don't remove yourself from the grace that God has for you. Just want more of it, but ask Him. Move towards His people. Naomi heard what God was doing and said, I'm going home. I'm glad you're here this morning. I hope you feel like you're home, because that's what it's all about. Church life is about worshiping Jesus, but being a home for those that are sojourners looking for a better country. Sojourners passing through this time looking for a future with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. This is our home this side of heaven. It's where we nurture, care for each other, pray for each other, encourage each other. If we're in need, I love the picture of Ruth. She's always doing what? She's always sowing in other people's lives, even though she has great need. And her mother-in-law saying, I'm not going to leave you. Where you go, I go. Your God's my God's. She goes out into the fields and brings home the food. She's always sowing into the lives of others. And finally, one practical life lesson from all this. And it's a hard thing to understand. Why would people be prideful about receiving grace and salvation from the Lord? In one hand, I do understand it. No, I'm going to go it alone. You know that, is it Frank Sinatra? I did it my way. Well, anybody that's lived long enough and you've done it your way, you know, that ain't going to work out. That ain't going to work out. And so receive what God wants to give you. Receive His grace. Receive His salvation. Receive His mercy. Be hungry for more of the Lord in your life. And if you have that disposition of heart, Lord, I want You. Even though the times may be difficult, You have a plan. Work that plan in my heart so I could live life to give You honor. And so, Lord, that I could find the path that I'm to walk in this life. Two women, Ruth and Naomi. You put it in the cultural context and it becomes even more brilliant. Women in those days of little value, little worth, and yet God sees their heart and brings them into a place of grace and blessing and purpose and even the lineage of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how much God has a heart for women. To pluck two women out of the most desperate situation, one even being a Gentile, and saying, I'm going to redeem, I'm going to heal, I'm going to provide, and I am going to put you, Ruth, in the lineage of redemption for all mankind. That is what grace looks like. And we are a picture of Ruth in need of a kinsman redeemer, in need of the grace of God. And all we need to do is ask. Say yes to that. Amen. I think James and Natasha are going to close us this morning, so we'll invite them to come. And we just stand.
This world has nothing.